Yes.
We're talking about the genetic way.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Thomas Pervenzlich. I'm an American living in Hong Kong and part-time in Berlin. The title of my talk is Evanescent Waves Cannot Exist in the Near Field, with an exclamation part mark, but it's quite strong. Introduction. Planck's black body theory relating EM radiation to temperature defines SB radiative heat transfer between hot TH and cold TC surfaces. Now here, EM will be electromagnetic, SB stuff in Boltzmann. And you all know this equation. Now, we know also over the past many years that if this equation is valid if the surfaces are separated by macroscale gaps. But recently, solutions of Maxwell's equations show relative heat transfer of nanoscale gaps is enhanced 3 to 4 orders of magnitude above Planck theory. Many of you know that. But there's a problem. The Maxwell solutions ignore the fact that QM denies the atom the electromagnetic confinement in nanoscale gaps to have the heat capacity to fluctuate in temperature as required by the FDT. And you know, in this talk, QM will be quantum mechanics, FDT, the fluctuation dissipation time. Now, Planck versus the near field. Planck never stated his theory bound to the near field, but was surely aware that heat flow from closed surfaces restricts the heat transfer to the conduction limit. But if it's so obvious, how then did the notion originate of increasing heat transfer by nanoscale gaps? Where did this come from? The origin? The near field heat transfer began almost 50 years ago on the counterintuitive conjecture by academia that black body heat transfer is greatest at zero surface spacing. And based on practical grounds, it is impossible to bring black body surfaces to zero spacing without making thermal contact. So any near field enhancement is logically cannot be achieved. But academia is not always practical. And even if the black body surfaces are close by assumption, but not contacting, the classical assumption was made that distinct temperature differences exist between hot and cold surfaces. In other words, if I have hot and cold surfaces, I bring them together, the temperature does not change. It remains TH and TC no matter how small I go. This is basically a classical assumption. Now, quantum mechanics disagree. Quantum mechanics negates closed surfaces to have the same temperature, and I'll show you this. Purpose. To question the conjecture that near-field heat transfer is enhanced above Planck theory, because by quantum mechanics, Maxwell solutions cannot satisfy the FDT that requires temperatures to fluctuate in nanoscale gap. And to propose Stefan-Boltzmann is still valid in the near field. Overview. Here I show the equation you all know, and I show a hot and cold surface here, separated by a dimension capital D and a standing wave. I think you can see that. And here, D is the smallest gap where Stefan Boltzmann is considered valid. But if you take D, small d, less than big D, you get this picture. And in this picture, small d is less than big D, and you can see the standing wave now is much smaller. Now here, D is the vacuum D. This small d here is the vacuum in this region, and plus twice what I call the dead space, 2ds. And ds, as you can see, are these regions here. Now, by quantum mechanics, the dead space lacks heat capacity, and no temperature fluctuations are possible. The FDT is not satisfied. And radiation then will pass through D without absorption, allowing the Stefan-Boltzmann to be valid for all gaps less D, less than capital D. Now, this is an overview. This is where I'm hitting. Begin with this argument. I start with the heat capacity of the atom. And here I show the Planck energy of the atom in electron volts versus the thermal electromagnetic confinement wavelength lambda. And on the right, you see the KT energy of the atom at room temperature, 0.258 electron volts. Now, this white line that goes all the way across from the macro scale to the nanoscale is classical physics. Whenever you do molecular dynamics, MD, COMSOL, ANSYS, all those finite element programs, this is what you assume. Quantum mechanics differs. This is the Planck law. You all know this. And if you plot this out at 300 degrees Kelvin, you get this yellow curve. And you could argue, maybe here down to about 100 microns, the classical physics and quantum mechanics have the same, the atom has the same heat capacity. But below that, you can see the quantum mechanical heat capacity vanishes. And this is logarithmic scale, so it's very rapid. And from this slide, I think you can see the development of heat transfer over the years. For example, in 1900, Planck derived the quantum mechanical Planck law, as you know. In 1912, Debye came along with phonons, and he made the assumption that H nu is equal to KT. And you can see this is valid for lambda greater than 100 microns. So what Debye was talking about was the region out here. And at that time, the macro scale was vogue. The nanoscale wasn't really considered much. So this is where he was. But today, the phonons are used in nanostructures, which are way over here. The phonons in nanostructures really have no heat capacity. And then in 1950, a little later, Teller and Metropolis, you all know these people, they did an MD simulation, two-dimensional, and they assumed periodic boundary conditions, PBC, and as you know, this is valid for long wavelength radiation, and in the continuum, which has long wavelength radiation, this is perfectly valid, out in this region again. But today, MD is used in discrete nanostructures over here. So there's also another problem. And everything kind of comes back to this chart. So basically, the bottom line is that in nanostructures, nano gaps, it doesn't matter, the atom have no heat capacity by quantum mechanics. Now, we had talks this morning, and I've had a lot of discussions, but basically there cannot be any temperature in nanoparticles. Now, quantum mechanics in the near field. Here I show electromagnetic confinement again in microns. And here at 300 degrees Kelvin, I show the 100 micron point. And here, K capital D now will be 50 microns, as you see here, and I alluded to this earlier, hot and cold surfaces. If you reduce the gap to 50 microns, less than 50 microns, you get this picture. And you can ask the question, what is the Stefan-Boltzmann heat flux for D less than 50 microns? And the argument I like to make here is it's really going to be the same as for D equal 50 microns. So SB is basically valid for all small d less than 50 microns. Maxwell solution. Many have been published in the literature, and in the near field they all assume this form of the equation. Those of you who know this, here D is the gap dimension. Now the theta, this is the, actually this is the Planck law, and these people who have used this and published many papers all argue that they do use the Planck law. Well, they do use it, but only in the near infrared where the atom has heat capacity. Strictly speaking, there can be no heat capacity. So the Maxwell solutions exclude theta omega t under electromagnetic confinement of the penetration depth of the evanescent waves at UV frequencies where the heat capacity vanishes. They use evanescent waves, but at long wavelength, and that's irrelevant to the small gaps, and I'll show you this shortly. Here's a picture out of a classical textbook. This is the heat flux. This is the frequency, radians per second. And you can see this dotted line is the Planck law, and here is the solution for 110 nanometers. And in this picture, there's about two orders of magnitude increase in the heat flux. Again, if you start with the Planck law, you take you take 3 times 10 to the 14th radians per second, which is this point, which is right at the peak of these. This corresponds to a near-infrared wavelength of 6.3 microns. And there the energy of the atom is not zero, it's 0.12. It's about half of what it is at room temperature. So there is energy available, and you do get an amplification. However, if you take 100 nanometers, this solution, and that means that the wavelength is 200 nanometers, the energy available is non-existent, 10 to the minus 39th eV. So the problem is that the Planck law that's being used in the literature is the long wavelength solution, lambda greater than 100 microns, I showed you earlier. So Stefan and Boltzmann and Maxwell, in the near field, quantum mechanics invalidates the FDT. Maxwell solutions of evanescent tunneling are questionable. But you still can ask the question, is the Stefan-Boltzmann equation still valid in the near field? And the answer is yes, but you have to use what is called QED tunneling instead of evanescent tunneling. QED tunneling. QED induces the excluded radiation, which cannot fit into this small gap, to create photons that tunnel across the gap and allow the Stefan-Boltzmann to remain valid. Here I start again. Lambda is twice the small d. Well, I wanted to check this. Alright, this equation is the classical. If I take Stefan-Boltzmann here, you know this equation. Now, the valid SB in the near field requires the number of QED photons, M sub P, is QSB over Q. And Q, you can't see it here, it's AC over 2 lambda. Anyhow, you get this form. Now the summary. Here's a plot of the heat transfer coefficient, H, gap in microns, and on the right you see the number of QED photons created to conserve the energy. The first point is QSB is constant for all D. If you look here, Stefan Boltzmann is constant all the way across. The heat transfer H, this term in red, by Maxwell exceeds Stefan Boltzmann by 3 to 4 orders of magnitude. You can see that here, from here to here. And QED is equal to Stefan Boltzmann. But the energy of the photons and their number will vary. And QED does not increase the heat transfer above Stefan Boltzmann. So the basic conclusions are QED is simple compared to computationally intensive Maxwell solutions, which are simply not correct. And QED conserves excluded Stefan Boltzmann radiation by creating standing wave photons to tunnel the Stefan Boltzmann irradiation across the gap. QED tunneling supersedes tunneling by evanescent waves. And Planck's limit on far field radiative heat transfer is not exceeded in the near field. Quantum mechanics denies the classical physics assumption in Maxwell's solutions that atoms and nanoscale gaps satisfy the FET. Now, a few points here at the very end. Quantum mechanics and nanotechnology. Now, what I've tried to show you is how this problem began 50 years ago, but it's still going on today. And to show you this, I have a few short slides. Here is what I call nanoparticle combustion, electromagnetic confinement, QED heat transfer, nanocoatings, and disinfection. Again, it's directed toward quantum mechanics and nanotechnology. In other words, avoiding classical physics and instead using quantum mechanics. Now, with nanoparticle combustion, if you add carbon nanoparticles to molten aluminum and air, oxygen environment, and you cool to ambient and take SEM micrographs, this is what you'll see. The black are the nanoparticles, the gray the aluminum. And you have to ask yourself the question, carbon nanoparticles did not combust at 600 degrees C. There's something wrong. You can see them. And you know they should have, because carbon plus oxygen goes to CO2. And if you repeat the same experiment for micron-sized particles, what you're going to find, you won't find them in the SEM. So there was complete nanoparticle combustion for large particles, but not for the nanoparticles. Think about that. And yet we know tensile tests show that the nanoparticles enhance the tensile properties. And to explain that, people have proposed carbon enhances the aluminum bond, but this has been disproved by density functional theory. Now, the quantum mechanical interpretation of this dilemma is the nanoparticles do not have heat capacity. I think you knew what I was going to say. And macrocarbon, when you put it in the hot aluminum, it will increase in temperature, again by quantum mechanics. But as it combusts away and converges down to a nanoparticle scale, that nanoparticle is still very hot, and it will also combust. But that does not happen with nanoparticles if you put them in. And the bottom line here is temperature changes do not occur in nanoparticles. And I think this may go the wrong way with some of you. I've already talked to some people about this. But something for you to consider. QED heat transfer. Classical physics heat transfer proceeds by three modes: conduction, radiation, convection. The proposal I'd like to make is there is a fourth mode. and it's called QED, but it's only true at the nanoscale. And it's a simplified form of QED. When I use QED, it's a simplified form of the QED in the interaction of light and matter that was advanced by Feynman and others. All I am saying here is if you put electromagnetic energy, heat for example, into a quantum mechanical box with refractive index n and size separated by distance d, you're going to create QED radiation lambda over 2 equal to d. And the equations are very simple. You don't need Maxwell's equation. F is the frequency of the radiation, the velocity of light c divided by the refractive index of the nanostructure divided by the wavelength, and lambda is equal to 2d. The Planck energy of that radiation, E, is Planck's constant times the frequency f. Electromagnetic confinement. How do you show that nanogaps have high surface to volume ratio? I showed you back when we started that to get the high electromagnetic confinement, I have to go to very short wavelengths. How do I do that? You just can't wave your hand. And the reason is, when you absorb, when the nanostructure absorbs energy, it places the surface atoms under very high electromagnetic confinement, but quantum mechanics precludes the temperature increase. So the energy goes into the surface, and since the distance between surfaces is nanoscale, you're going to have a high electromagnetic confinement. And QED then, realizing that temperature cannot increase, conserves that trap energy to electromagnetic radiation. Here's a hot surface, a cold surface, and a nanogap. Heat comes in, hot to cold, goes from left to right. No temperature increase. Alright? Can't conserve it. It's still there. How do you conserve it? Well, the proposal is that QED will produce this half wavelength radiation. And once you use the energy that was in the surface that provided the electromagnetic confinement, there's nothing there, and the radiation comes off. And again, this is QED, the simplified definition for refractive index 1, vacuum gap. And the equations again. Nanocoating. You have a substrate, you add heat to it, you put on a macro coating, one greater than 1 micron, the temperature will increase. You all know this. And the only way you can get rid of that heat is by natural convection, as I show here. However, if you make a nano coating less than 100 nanometers, it's a brand new ballgame. There's no temperature increase, and you're going to produce this QED radiation that I've been alluding to. So nanocoatings, which are the most common form of nanostructures we know in our macroscopic world, they conserve heat without temperature increase, with QED radiation. It will simply bypass the natural convection and enhance the heat transfer. Finally, disinfection. If you take a handheld thin-walled aluminum bowl, with the nanoscale zinc oxide coating, you can produce UVC. It's UVC at 254 nanometers from body heat and disinfect Ebola in drinking water. No electricity is required. Application is West Africa. And the UVC is created with 50 nanometer coating of zinc oxide. Lambda equal 2nd. And for n equal 2.5, you get about 254 nanometers. And the LEDs in the UVC are thought to provide the future disinfection of drinking water, but LEDs still require electricity, and you'll find that in more detailed work, you cannot achieve 100% efficiency of QED disinfection. The protocol, the heat available is 6,000 microwatts per centimeter squared. The body, all each of us emit about 100 watts of power, and we have an average human has an area of about 1.75 square meters, and that breaks down to this number. For Ebola, you need 400 microwatt seconds per centimeter squared to disinfect Ebola. So you just move the bowl over the surface in less than 1 second scans, like you see here. And for drinking water, there you need more, 38,000 microwatt seconds per centimeter squared. You hold the water in the bowl for at least 7 seconds, as you see here. Well, that's all I have. I think I've dragged out my time here. This is my email. Look on my homepage. You'll see many applications of quantum mechanics and nanotechnology. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. We'd like to start the discussion.
I always thought that temperatures in thermodynamics have the tendency to balance after a while if they are in equilibrium. So how come we can have several objects that are in different temperature and maintain this temperature difference?
How can you? You cannot if you bring them close. If you bring them close together, they're going to have the same temperature effectively. See, what has happened, experimental data in support of what has been done relies on exactly this point. You have a hot surface and a cold surface, and they measure those temperatures, but when you bring them down, they can't measure the surface temperature. Right? It's impossible. They assume it's the same. Well, of course, if you bring them down two surfaces very close to zero, you get a very high air temperature, and that explains the background for the Maxwell equation.
Okay. Quite a tough subject. And
if I may say this, in China somewhere, I presented something similar to this, but basically it comes down to whether you believe the Planck law is valid or not. If it's valid, then I think you have to agree with what I've been saying. If it's not valid, then I have to back off. So basically, this is the crucial argument. There's no high temperatures, contrary to my friend back there.
Just one question. I'm not sure that I should be right, but you said that currently in device theory.
Once again?
You said that in device theory that.
The Debye theory.
Yeah, the Debye theory, the way I understand it, and maybe I need to be educated as well, but Debye started off with H nu equal KT. I don't know if you agree with that. That put him out into the macroscopic region. And at that time, that's all they were interested in.
But in there, it's a different dispersion relation. It's a different dispersion relation. It's for photons.
So yeah, well, the KT is KT.
But it's KT.
I understand, but KT is KT.
Sure.
Okay.
Okay, the dispersion relation is by 5 orders of magnitude different. Because they have a sound velocity of 10 to the 3 meters per second.
Yeah.
And not 10 to the 8.
Yeah, I know. They
it basically brings this regime where you get basically a zero heat capacity down by 5 orders of magnitude, which is then more or less the angstrom or something.
Oh. Okay. I'm afraid I have to disagree. I think the phonon has no energy in the nanoscale. It has energy in the way Debye intended it. But over the years, it's converged to that because they had to address recently, with the past 20 years, the nanoscale. And it's only logical to extend what was done before, but it's not valid. You may just, yeah, that's okay. You have any other all of this
questions? We have something to think of.
Yeah.
Do
you
have a question back?
Hi, I'm sorry, you'll have to speak a little.
Yes,
we can't hear.
Can the gold nanoparticles leap up to those high temperatures?
Well, I went through this with the gentleman here. No, they cannot increase in temperature. The experiment that shows that very clearly is the one I presented on carbon nanoparticles in molten aluminum. The carbon nanoparticles never combusted. And in classical physics, you're right. You can increase the temperature of anything by adding energy. But by quantum mechanics, you're restricted. Well,
we have one more question there.
Yes, we already discussed a lot.
Okay.
But regardless of having this heating or not, which we have already, the explanation are different, as you mentioned already, for nanoscale. But in our application, since we do have the heating around the nanoparticle, let's say not on the nanoparticle.
Have you measured the temperature of the nanoparticle?
Around the nanoparticle.
Not?
Around the nanoparticle, the surrounding medium, around it, not inside.
Well, you have to measure the... Around it is not the same as inside, and you can't do that.
We can reach inside the nanoparticle activity. What we are interested to for the biological applications is what will happen around the nanoparticle. And for us, it works. But your explanation, just, I would say, I agree with that. But probably the explanation.
See, the question is whether in cancer therapy, whether the high temperature kills the cancer cell.
Yeah.
And this goes back maybe 10 years now, but in Houston I went to a conference, and that was the decision that temperature kills the cancer cell. But you see, you don't need temperature. The radiation that you're producing inside the nanoparticle will kill the cancer. Okay? You don't need the high temperature. And it's really two positions on it.
Two different views of...
Yeah, that's
okay. Any more questions, or
yeah,
can we move on?
It's fine to ask questions afterwards also.
Yeah.
So, we have the number report here, about Nolte method for electromagnetic scattering by large asymmetric, axisymmetric particles.
Are really stones. So